right. Well, let me pray and we'll get started. And then, John, we'll have you jump in. God, I do thank you for this morning. I want us to be open to what you have for today, whether that's something in this conversation, whether it's something to do with our worship and our community space as we come together as a local church to worship and celebrate you this morning, whether that's learning from your word, whether that's remembering your gifts, humbling ourselves in repentance. Pray you lead us to the spaces you want us to be in this morning. Pray for Sarah Marie and the work that she will likely do later, that you would just bless her and her, I think, love and care, comfort, compassion, intervention in spaces where she's really needed. And I just pray that you would bless our time as we begin to move toward Resurrection Sunday and the just the reminder of what it is that we have from you, all the good things we've been given from you. I pray you bless this time in your name. Amen. So I invited John to come join us this morning. We are in just about the front end here of moving into the Lent season before Easter. And this is a season for us where we have invested more in the last couple of years in moving into some of the more traditional rhythms, but we haven't just done it just to do it because the items are in the calendar. We wanted to do it with an eye for can we make these moments meaningful and deep for our own worship and our own relationship with the Lord. And so this year we have some things that are, I think, pretty standard, some things that are a little bit different. So I'm going to introduce John Rowe here and then Jay to kind of cover what we've got coming up in the next months, really, at the stage. So John, go ahead.
All right. Hey, thanks, Joel. And thanks, everybody, for giving me a little bit of time to talk to all of you. Ash Wednesday is coming up here. It's supposed to be March, now I'm blanking, 3rd or 4th, whatever the first week in March is. And normally we have a service for that. We've had a service the last 6 years, I think, on Ash Wednesday. But it was my hope this year that we would have a larger engagement throughout our entire church. And as I was talking to Nick Spazowski, just from a Sunday service director point of view, we were trying to see if maybe we could get this out to our home groups. And then even the campus is going to be on spring break that week, and that we could engage with the beginning of Lent, Ash Wednesday, in a more meaningful way, but even in a way that we can just all engage with this, you know, that we can all lean into the gospel and take this season that leads up to Easter and do it together in a community way. And so basically what I've done is, and the campus is doing this on spring break, but I've made up a little bit of a liturgy for people to do in their home groups. It's an easy way. Whoever's leading the home group is going to have to do the quote unquote priestly things and be the leader for that time. But it's an easy way to just go through some prayers, offer prayers of worship, but then also kind of lean into just who God is, who we are not, and that God still loves us, and let the gospel do its work. We're really, that's our aim. We want to go deeper into the gospel, and Lent is the season in which we can lean into that. And so I don't know if, Joel, we want to take a quick look at the
screen share. I'm up for that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can literally just take like 30 seconds to just go over that, and then I'll answer any questions that anybody has quick as of right now.
You both have screen sharing, if that helps you.
I'll let Joel do it.
Oh, I don't have it up, John.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I I got it. Go.
I had it up until Friday and I closed all those tabs that I had open. I was like, ah, simplify my life.
Not that tab. See if I can get this. And that tab. There we go. Yeah, it's pretty basic. Whoever's leading the time in your home group, whether it be over Zoom or in person, you can envision people for a moment. And this can literally take 10 minutes. It could be 15 or 20 minutes, but basically it can be the time that you might spend in prayer or whatever. Then there's a time, go through a confession together, just Psalm 51, pretty basic. And then there's some call and response type moments that we go through. And we can share this with each of you. If you're doing it, Ash, or if you guys are meeting in person, I know not every group is, we can get ashes out to you guys and you guys can do this together and do it in community. But yeah, that's the overall gist. Any quick questions? And maybe if you have questions that come to you later in the week, I'm open to answering those. But yeah.
John, can you just give us a... Can we? Nope. Joel, can I ask him a question? All right. I was just going to say, John, give us a reminder of the purpose, meaning the season of Lent historically, how we can engage with it, and how Ash Wednesday is like tied into that whole piece.
Yeah. So, I mean, Ash Wednesday and Lent, like we don't exactly know when it started, but we know it started somewhere around the time when Constantine made Christianity like the national religion, and the church responded in ways to be like, all right, you want to be a Christian? Like, let's make sure that we're all on the same page. We all need to be about the gospel. So it was like, engage in this 40-day fast, come to be baptized, confess that Jesus is Lord. And over the course of history, it's also been a time for Christians to re-engage with the gospel, to go deeper into the sacrifice of Christ. And that rhythm, I know for me personally, as I've started to do this the last 7 years, it has been a great rhythm for me. It's like that deepening of the gospel. I love what Tim Keller, I've heard Tim Keller say this before. There's infinite depth in the gospel. And so that's why I want to continually help our church in this area continue to engage in the gospel. So,
John, I was just going to ask, could you edit the link so that it allows, we could just post the link in the chat, not necessarily so we have 40 document editors. Yeah, you can do it after the Q&A part, if that's cool.
Sure. Sure.
I tried to do it, but I don't think I have permissions to make that change.
Okay. Sounds good.
Any other questions for John while we have him?
For the campus, just so we can all be aware, is it basically doing the same thing? The liturgy you've written is what the college students are going to do on?
Yep. And yeah. Basically, and they will, and some of them will do it on Wednesday. And I know not all of you guys meet on Wednesdays. So whatever day you meet that week, try and include this in as a part of your home group time, whether it's a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, whatever. We're not being sticklers for the day. The importance is the engagement and the rhythm. So...
Any other questions out there?
One quick question. So, John, you want us to do it that week of Ash Wednesday, but will there be something similar or that same thing every week throughout Lent that you want us to do in home groups, or just to kick it off?
No, just to kick it off, okay. I've encouraged some people, this could be an opportunity if you're going to fast something during during Lent to like have, you know, talk about that in your home group and then like use your home group as a time to share about that fast throughout the course of Lent, and maybe keep each other accountable or just see how that's going. But like regular study or anything like that going throughout, maybe in the future, but not this time around.
I think the heart behind this too is we're not mandatorily making you all do this. That we're trying to step away from the emperor edicts. This is how it goes. But we really wanted a rhythm that's accessible to our whole local church community. And we're scattered all over the place. Some are in home groups. Some are coming into the building and would potentially come into a building to do a worship service that Wednesday, although we're not doing one this year. We've got. I don't know, 75, 80 students down the spring break. We're trying to do something we can all do together, even though we're not all together. So this is just something we just wanted to offer and make you aware of that you can engage it. I can direct you to John if you have further questions beyond this time as well. Okay.
Thanks, John.
All right. Thanks, yeah, everybody.
Thanks so much for joining us, John. Appreciate it.
We'll be in touch.
Since we're on the Easter theme, let's cover all the rest of the Easter related events we've got going on.
You said Jay? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So we are going to continue through Lent all the way. It'll lead us up to the Easter week, which we have decided as a church, we're going to try to lean in and make a bit of a bigger push collectively on this. And so we did this a few years ago, and it's looking at Easter week, which includes Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday, and wanting to lean in and see those become more invitational in our focus. The reason we include Good Friday is a lot of college students do go home on Easter Sunday. So seeing Good Friday as an opportunity to invite a lot of college students that will still be around. And then of those who do stay around, we encourage them to stay on. The nice thing with the virtual option as well is there's a place to even encourage the college students when they do go home that they could still engage on Sunday morning virtually and maybe even include their families in it. So there's a sense of even that they get sent out into that space. So one of the things that I'm super excited about that even John just said is the season of Lent is to lean into the gospel, to try to remain in the gospel, and it's about doing it together. When I think about our discipleship pathway, that worship is remaining in the gospel, being renewed by the Spirit through scripture and prayer, the idea of being in community together, that we're doing this in community, trying to build each other up. But then the outflow of that is mission to live sent, where we are loving our neighbors and we're making disciples of Jesus. And so those action steps are trying to get to know someone outside the church well enough to serve them, to actually go and serve someone outside the church, and then to share something that Jesus has done and how he's impacting your life in today. And so there's a living sent tool that we created. I'm sure you've heard of this by now. We would love for you to grab a copy at the church if you haven't. Joel, I think, has other means. And the emphasis of the living sent tool is essentially just praying over people around us, taking time to pray. Who is God putting on our heart to be praying for that we could get to know, that we could serve, that we could share? And even in sharing is inviting into spaces of community, whether it be a home group, out for coffee, or on a Sunday morning. And so those are things that we'd love for all of you. If you haven't already started this year or this semester, we'd love for you to lean into the Live Sent idea, especially in the season of Lent, because I think it's another way to just focus our heart in the gospel. When we talk about the discipleship pathway, you know, it's quoting the idea that we no longer live for ourselves, that we live for Christ who lived, died, and rose for us. And so this is a way for us to begin to hear God's heart for those around us and to be in consistent prayer over those. So I think I've said before in this that the Lord led me to quite a few people on my street to be thinking about, getting to know, trying to serve, opportunities to share. And so it becomes powerful in that as we try to live as followers of Christ, remaining in the gospel, staying committed to Jesus, living on mission, living sent for him. Just every time I turn into my own neighborhood, I'm thinking about those homes when I drive past them. thinking about it, thinking, where is God inviting me to try to reach out and get to know? So this all builds towards the season of Easter. We see Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday as huge opportunities to invite others into those spaces. And one of the things that, as we were praying about, thinking through from a city perspective, but a whole church, what are ways that we could actually help you all of us in the space of invitation towards Easter season? And so a couple of things that are happening is Sarah Marie and Stephanie, who have done wonderful announcements for years. Stephanie is also pretty gifted behind the scenes in design and digital creation. They are going to team up and are helping create some resources that we could use in this season. So we hope to get those out to everyone, made available the next huddle from now. We want to be talking about it a little bit more, but those should be things that you could use in digital spaces, either using on social media, where you could share through social media. You could share by text to those around you. We hope to make a few by print. Often when we print things, they don't get as picked up or as much traction these days. I know myself, I even come in, if someone tries to hand me something in print, I usually snap a photo of it with my phone and then walk away. So we will have some in print if you need it. We'll also have things that you can print on your own. But the idea is that we can be sharing easy invites into the Easter season, the events that we're doing with Good Friday service, the Good Friday service, and then also Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, sharing a little bit about that. So those are the big events through the season of Lent that we're super excited about. We just be praying. Our desire is to see if everyone who is praying over others, whether the people respond or not, our work is if we could all invite someone into those Sunday services, into a time, a home group, into a space to grab coffee, inviting people to engage with God's church, which are his people. In this season, that would be powerful. And I believe God will work through it. And I believe that just as Lent, we're trying to lean into the gospel and see it, others could be discovering it for the first time or rediscovering it or having it come to fruition in their life. And I've been saying this too, it is a dark season. The last 2 years have been really troubling. There's lots of challenge. There's lots of diverse opinions that are not always done in agreeable ways. So the whole idea of having a non-anxious presence that Kyle talked about last week in today's age, where we are standing in what we believe, but not disparaging of others, I think is a huge word for us as a church that we have the greatest news the world has ever heard. And so to be able to lean into the gospel and to invite people into a space to engage with the reality of who God is pretty powerful. So that's all going to happen. I don't know if Joel, Sarah Marie want to add anything to that. And then we do have a follow-up event. I see Sarah Marie shaking. Joel, you good? Keep going.
I'm good. I was just going to say, I'm just throwing in the chat at City Resources page link that does have the PDF for the LipSent tool that you can download as well.
Awesome. Yeah, if we, I would say it's, the world needs his church to continue to shine in the midst of this, continue to love others, love your neighbors, yourself. You have this great, amazing relationship and knowledge of who God is. And I think there's no better thing than to share that with those around us. One of the things that we're excited about too, is we know that not everyone may come to the Easter season, but we'd love to be following up, having another event ready, something that we've been praying about. We did a parenting online gathering about a year and a half ago, and that was really powerful, really good. We saw a lot of good feedback. Things are opening up a little bit more right now, and so we are going to go towards a marriage conference in the month of May. So one of the things that people, if they come on Sunday or even as another invite, is to say, hey, if you don't want to come on Sunday or they said no, we could invite them to a marriage conference that we're going to be hosting in person in May. The dates are May 13th and 14th, and there will be the speakers at this, I do have two links. Let me throw these in here. So it's local couple, Brian and Jen Harvey, that they actually were a part of our church for a short time. He was pastoring at a church for a while and kind of in between figuring out what they were doing. So this is back in 2011, 2012. They served with our city advisory team for a bit, Brian did. As they were figuring a few things out in life, and they had done a number of things. He's military background. She is a lawyer, has her own practice. Pretty amazing couple. They're local to Ann Arbor, so they understand our context, which is awesome to be able to jump in with us. And they just saw over the years, God led them a couple of years ago to basically say, how could they leverage their life for the kingdom and led them to start some marriage, working with married couples, but also those who are pre-married, and doing some of their own work on them by themselves in those spaces. And as a result, people were like, this content is amazing. When are you going to write a book? They weren't thinking anything about it. The Lord led them to actually lean into that. They wrote a book, and then it's just kind of grown from there. And they are an awesome couple. They have seen, even through the pandemic, the numbers of divorce has spiked. And to be able to lean into that and make a difference is what they're trying to do. And so they have Operation Thriving Marriage, Field Manual for Maximum Performance and Preventative Maintenance. A lot of what their heart is to try to get out in front of things that become challenging in a marriage. A lot about that is communication, get on the same page, planning. We've had a few different marriage conferences over the years. We're excited to bring in a new couple, someone that's local, and someone that, you know, because they are local, could be pursued even after this. So I would say between now and then, you can grab a Kindle book. If you know, one of those things when you invite someone into a space, I know a lot of you will love to know, what am I inviting someone into? So you can grab their book on Kindle. It's only $3 right now. They also have they have their own podcast, and then they've been interviewed by a number of podcasts out there. That's a great way to just hear directly from them, hear their story, hear what they're trying to do. But we're working on details of that. There'll be invitations going into the Easter season, so you can invite someone to Easter or the marriage. And then on the weeks of Easter, we're hoping to have a video announcement by the Harveys themselves, where they could actually invite people to come to this event that we're doing. So,
and if you've tuned out because you're not married, this event is for singles as well. If it's a desire of your heart to one day be married, now is the best time to prepare to be an excellent godly husband or wife. So don't tune out, share with your groups. We'd love to have you there.
Yeah. The other side of that too is singleness is a awesome and hard place to be at times. It's a calling of God. It's a gift. And whether you're married or not, you will be ministering and start working with people who are married. And so there's tons of aspects there of being able to learn and grow in all of this. And yeah, any age. So we had tons of college students come to the last one, not tons. I think there was like a handful of college students that come. So it'll be open to anyone, but we'd love to invite you to this as well. So I know we're telling people to invite, but I want you to hear you're invited to this. We'd love for you to join the marriage conference that we're doing. That's the name we have for right now, but maybe we'll come up with a fancy name. May 13th, 14th. Joel, you laugh at that. I'll give it back to you.
I just like the irony, but it's also accurate and honest. So I like that too. Hey, any other questions about any of this content? We just blasted through a ton of new info. I've learned to count a full 5 seconds beyond when I think I can move on to the next topic. That thanks to Warren, particularly. You're like God's gift to me, man.
I just want to throw out there that I'm super excited about the marriage conference and to mark those dates on your calendar. It was a reminder to me to come and ask if she will come and stay with our kids. Just kind of putting that out. May is a busy month, so we're doing it. Get your child care situated. That's it.
Thanks, Kristen.
I was gonna say maybe I should count to 6 from now on.
do you for child care stuff, do you have the times roughly? I know it's probably Friday evening and like all day Saturday.
Yes, that's roughly what we're considering, a 2 to 3 hour thing Friday night, and then
okay.
Start of the day, not like crazy early, but start of the day, Saturday.
Sure. I think in the past we did 6 to 9 on Fridays and then 9 to noon or 10 to 1 on Saturdays. And we are still thinking through possibly being able to provide childcare for some ages at the building, but that's not a guarantee. So if you have a preferred babysitter while we are figuring this out, go ahead and get them on your books.
I will add too, we don't know if we'll be able to do anything on our end. We will look into it, even with the Harveys, because they're local, they may have connections. But whether we do this or not, one of the great ideas that was thrown out is if you do have someone that can come stay with your kids, even overnight, family member, someone you trust, it could be really powerful for you and your spouse to just book a hotel locally, or maybe you do the conference and drive somewhere. But take the night and just get away, make it a whole thing, event with your spouse. We did that. The very first one we joined with was Rock Your Marriage back in, I don't know, 2013, 14. And we drove and we stayed at hotels and went to a place, joined in Rock Your Marriage Conference in Berkeley. And the getaway alone with your spouse and as couples was really powerful. So something to consider. Get your home group to go do it.
Hey, any other thoughts, questions? Okay. We can come back to this. So if you've come up something like in 8 or 9 seconds from now, that's totally fine. I want to step into this next space and offer you guys an opportunity to share.
Joel, can I cut in here for a second?
Yes, totally. Go for it.
I need to get going to start New Life Kids soon.
Yes, let's have you. Yeah, let's have you.
Can I go next?
Yeah, go for it.
So I just wanted to make an announcement that is a repeat announcement, and you'll also receive an email, but we just want everybody to know that New Life Kids is reopening classrooms for infants through fifth grade, finally, next Sunday. So we're excited. Please pass the word on to your home groups. We're going to have a classroom for age 3 through kindergarten that is going to have playtime and worship dance and a story time from the Jesus Storybook Bible. And then we're also going to have the 1st through 5th graders meet in the large basement classroom. And they're going to go through the same video lesson that is posted on our New Life Kids Facebook group. So that people who are worshiping from home and still engaging in that space are kind of tracking along with the people who are experiencing our in-person classes. However, our in-person classes will also have a small group time and a chance to connect, with their friends. And there's some activities that are like a part of the lesson too. So it's kind of like it's a little more to engage with in the in-person space, just because we can do more with that kind of space. That is coming up next Sunday, and we hope that you get your KidCheck accounts all updated and ready to go, and that if we see a lot of people there. All right, and I'm going to go get ready for today's New Life Kids.
Daniela, thanks so much for your hard work getting the setup for us.
Yep, I'm excited. All right, thanks, everybody.
See you later. Chelsea, can we stick with the theme and move to Spring Hill?
Yeah, we just wanted to say thank you. And we do have a couple pictures that I was going to share my screen really quick, just to say thanks. And we could not have done it without everybody's support. We had 30, oh boy. We had lots of kids, lots of chaperones. We had 14 chaperones and 36 kids come. So there were 50 people total. We took a charter bus up and we just had a blast, and we just saw a lot of fruit from it already. So we're excited. We are just looking forward to seeing how, you know, we can continue to springboard off this for our youth ministry. And it was just a great connection also between the campus and the city. We had 5 college students come with us. And then we also, you know, so 5 college students and then 9 city people. So it was just it was a great connection. And that's really what we're trying to continue to do as we throughout this year and then in, you know, years to come as we continue to do that. So just wanted to show a couple pictures. I know we had the Spring Hill slideshow, but it ended up not working during the service. So just wanted to show a couple pictures. Hopefully you guys can see my screen. So this is the group of 50. we had a really great time. So then we stopped at Wendy's, had some dinner. They ended up opening up Wendy's for us specifically, which was really cool. We had of the 36 kids, 18 of them were friends of our normal kids. So there was like half, like roughly half. And so this was really cool. You can just see, you know, we have three college students in Will Winslow. This is really, really cool. So we got our seventh graders. Well, so yeah, it was just a blast. This is our group. We had tubing, lots of fun, broom ball, paintball. Yeah. So that was just a couple pictures. Just wanted to share.
Can you go back to the whole picture?
Yeah.
That's a really awesome picture and it's envisioning for me. And I hope you all catch this. Maybe you can even get this picture and share it with your group because Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, don't let anyone think less of you because of you're young. So this is Paul talking to Timothy. Be an example to all the believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. And the way they live, that group, our youth, are living sent. Like almost half of the students in this are not even part of our church. They're just invited into spaces. And so for me, this is like a picture. Imagine if we actually lived sent the way the youth are for the Easter weeks, what could happen? How many more people would show up and what God might do through that. So Chelsea, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Chelsea, we're so grateful for your effort to lead through this. It's just, we don't get to see the full impact, to be honest. I mean, we get to see the events, we get to see like people went, but I think to know the full faith impact, we're not going to see it yet in this life, but I think it's massive.
Yeah, I just want to say, so this is Warren. I just want to say Chelsea too, a huge thank you to Chelsea. I think, I mean, I don't know. I had no idea how much I could imagine, but like I had no idea how much work would go into it behind the scenes and the planning and the running around and all the effort that goes into it and making it go smooth and a good experience for the kids. And it was awesome. And so Chelsea, thank you so much. And James, we had a blast. So it was such a great time. Not a very restful time. Pretty out of it on Monday, but I mean, it was awesome.
Yay. You're amazing, Chelsea. Thank you. Yeah, I've been counting down the years, and now the other kids are all counting down the years until they get to go too. So it's awesome.
I love it. Yeah, same for our household. Kids are excited. The pictures help too. Honestly, it's just helpful to like show the slideshow and. Chelsea does have all these like pictures available, so it's not like it's a secret slideshow. If you like want them, she can get them to you. That said, I'd love to move into a space just to give you the floor to share if anything's coming up in your group spaces, in your own personal life, particularly with regard to living sent and living the discipleship pathway. Not looking for a quiz. I don't need you to quote any of the actions. What I'm looking for is, are there spaces in your life where you feel like you are seeing people take steps of faith, either in their worship, in their community, in their mission, or it could be something for you guys, for you personally. It could be your story. It could be one you heard like in a home space. So I'd love to give you the floor. If you can think of any, it'd be encouraging to the rest of us to help us continue to press into these spaces in our own lives and in our leadership spaces. Love to hear them. I can start off. One of the things that's been fascinating to me recently is I have, so we have the Live Sent bookmark. I have like six New Life bookmarks in my Bible right now. I use them for my like reading plan and all the different spaces. I have a couple different versions of the Live Sent bookmark, and I've had to kind of keep changing it because God's been redirecting the efforts that I've put in. So I've been reaching out. My primary pool is for like new people in my life that aren't involved in the church or in on a hockey team, and through school or the kids' activities. And recently, I've just been pressing into a couple relationships that have had some openings relationally in those spaces. So there's not like long moments to converse, but consistently there's like 4 or 5 minutes, maybe that can result in a longer conversation. Or sometimes I can sit next to somebody on a bench and get an extended conversation as we move in and out of our shifts and kind of move things along those lines. And so now I've got an interesting dynamic because I've got one family through the hockey team. And we had a really early game. So the wife and their 3-year-old daughter was able to come. I know the husband better because he plays on the team with me, but we were able to, my daughter was at that game, ironically. So I was able to introduce them and make a connection. And he and I are hoping to do a next step where we actually get together for lunch. But all three of these couples are in the same, kind of roughly the same scenario where they have a faith background, but they haven't stepped foot in a place of worship for the last like probably 2.5 years. It's not an active commitment for them. One of the other two couples are both soccer team connections through Timothy Soccer. This last one, it's just interesting. God ends up sitting me next to a different set almost every week, and we've been moving the conversations into spiritual spaces pretty fast. And so this last Saturday, Megan, she's got two kids. One plays soccer, and the other has a ton of special needs, which has caused a lot of challenges in their life. And for her, it's actually been the exit ramp for her Catholic faith. And so we began having that conversation, and it's just been, we're at the beginning part of the process with like all these different families, but it's been exciting for me to see how God's really opened the door wide for honest conversations. So I'm hoping that I can get to do a Good Friday, Palm Sunday, Easter invite for all of them, see what he will do. Any other stories out there? Stories could be personal for you too. Like if there's personal devotion things, that's fine too. Kristen, go for it.
I have a really close friend in our neighborhood whose marriage is like on the brink. It is not going well. And they're separated right now and there's kids involved. And I've been really just this morning struck with, would the marriage conference be a good thing for them? Or it would be a good thing for them, but like, where are they at in the process of, would it be a good idea to invite? Like, cause I just don't know exactly where they're at, but it's not a good place. So that's what I'm going to be praying for is it, at what point should I bring that up? Could they be open to that, et cetera, et cetera. So. They're good friends. We're really close friends with their kids, our kids and all of that. So it's tough. So.
I love seeing you invested in their well-being though, Kristen. That reflects Jesus well, regardless of what the decision ends up being on the invite.
I'll be praying for that. There was two small things. So as I said earlier, I have Live Sent quite a few people, neighbors that I have. And so one of the ways is, you know, getting people know well enough to learn how to serve. I haven't figured out how to serve on this one, but I did learn. It was just funny. Like one of the guys taking the trash out on Thursday morning, we were both out at the same time getting conversations and learned more about his family and his kid and a couple things that they were setting up to do this week. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So it was like a whole nother side that I didn't know about their family. So, and he's one that I'm really intrigued with because we've touched on spiritual things a few times. And as soon as we get there, it's like conversation over, something changed, move on. So there's definitely something there. I'd love to understand, you know, more of his story on it. That's where I'm going to try to go with him. And then the other was a guy further down the street that trying to get to know and figure out like, how do I engage with this guy? And lo and behold, found out he's a runner and we ended up finding each other on Strava, a running app that we, you know, started following each other. So it's just the day and age we're in. It's so weird. Like he's literally down the street, but I'm like in a conversation digitally through a running community, like saying, you know, giving thumbs up to his runs, giving him props here and there with a goal of like, I need to get my own running stamina back up to where I can go for a run with this guy is what I'm shooting to do. So hopefully that'll happen before Easter. And then we'll see if we can get an invite to him. So it's fun and hard.
It's a good integration of a faith and physical health.
Yeah, the running's the hard part. The other part's fun.
The trash can is the water cooler of the neighborhood.
Especially
so after, true.
Especially after it rains.
I don't have a story, but I think I heard some language. I read some language recently, which has been helpful for me in thinking through this for my family. I'm reading this book right now that's focusing on sort of like the middle stage of your life, which I feel like Amy Grace and I have entered recently. And part of the distinction it makes is that the first part of your life that you go through is getting your life together. And then once you have it together, it becomes about how do I give this away? And then the last part of your life is how do you have a good death? So I'm definitely in the middle part. And I think that's mostly the tension I felt with the Live Sent tool, or even just Living Sent in general, is it feels like there's this huge, I mean, we even by necessity right now, just having to figure out a lot of stuff of like, what does it mean to be parents? And Judah needs a lot of help to flourish. But it has been challenging for me to think about, even though things feel really scarce right now in our life, what does it look like to still be giving that away, to still be generous with what we do have to give? So I'm hoping for more stories, but it has definitely been hard this last year to think much outside of what's going on in our family, for sure. Amy Grace has stories though. She's been hanging out with another mom in our neighborhood, Jasmine, and doing play dates. Her son Bellamy's a couple months older than Judah. So I feel like that's been cool. Starting to get into the world of kids has opened up a lot of ways to meet people, even though we're not doing a lot of them right now. It's been like really clear for me that like connecting over kids with people is a really strong connection.
It really is. And there's typically a consistent set of needs on the table, and shared experiences like almost immediately, even if you don't have any other place of connection. It's one of God's graces. Children are amazing. They're hard, but they also are helpful for getting into conversations. Any other stories out there?
I was going to say, this is Warren. I have a story to share. It's not really mine so much, but my wife has a friend, her best friend in Colorado, or lives in Colorado. Her husband passed away last week. Very unexpectedly, very, very unexpectedly. And so she's been out there helping with the family and supporting them. But the stories that she's been telling us about, like the community out there and the community of believers that have helped, come to her aid and support her have been so, I mean, they've been kind of like awe-inspiring for me. They live in an area where, I mean, they live in the mountains in Denver, you know, and like it's your nearest neighbor may be miles away. And you know, she has friends through CBS and through her church that, I mean, these people are amazing. I mean, they have so much food. They've had to turn people down. They have a friend who lives like 45 minutes away, and they've noticed that they had skunks in their deck. And this neighbor came over the neighbor like put out traps, and the neighbor's husband will come over every morning before he goes to work to check the traps to make sure the skunks are gone. I mean, it's just the stories that Andrea has that she's been sharing have just been so encouraging. So I think that, the idea of living in community and I don't know what you would do without, other brothers and sisters out there, but like, it's been really, really, I mean, it's super, super sad, but it's also so encouraging to see people kind of rally around that family. It's been pretty amazing to see God at work there.
I want to transition into a time of prayer. Warren, I wondered if, are there any, anything particular you want us praying for that family?
Yeah, I mean, there's,
man, the list is so long for that family. So one is obviously just to have peace and comfort. They have four kids, four kids ages like 6 through 15. And the other one, and it's honestly finances, just to see how they, so he was the only, you know, he worked, she didn't, she was homeschooling the kids. And it turned out he recently changed jobs where his new job did not have life insurance. So they also don't have, life insurance benefits or anything like that. So I just pray for, I don't know, that the Lord will provide.
Yeah, let me pray for that right now. God, I just I want to ask you for this family. It's clear you're providing for them right now. But it's one of those very human moments that we have where we can see your hand moving, and there are things that we would have preferred to have gone differently. But I want to ask for your provision for this family, that they would continue to see your hand. Anything that they need, God, that you would give it. When they're hurting, I pray that you would provide comfort. When they have a financial need, I pray you provide it, perhaps through others. I don't know what's more committed, driving 45 minutes or engaging skunks, but I thank you, God, that you've already done that. But I pray that you would provide the protection that they need. Especially, Lord, that you would be with the children as they try to sort through what this means about you, how they understand you as a good God who loves them. It's a harder thing to do when you've lost someone close to you under difficult circumstances. I pray that you would show yourself good and glorious in this space. And I pray for Andrea that you just give her the energy she needs to be a great friend in this space, and for Warren to know how to shepherd her well and manage the house well in her absence. Pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Joel.
You're welcome. Any other prayer requests out there? This could be anything, but if you want like a focused bounds to it, it could be something that's a need for you, for your group. Just thought we'd spend the last few minutes we have together praying for one another.
I cannot think of any specific group needs at the moment, but I would love for you guys to continue praying for my family as well, too. What Warren said, like, totally resonated. The body of Christ is just amazing and supporting. For those of you guys that don't know, my brother committed suicide 2 weeks ago, and so I just would love prayer for my parents in particular, that the community still kind of surrounds them. They have some really amazing Christian friends, but I'm going with my dad to pick up his ashes on Wednesday. So that's going to be another hard day. So just continuing to pray in particular. I'm doing okay for the most part, but my parents, that's their kid. So praying for, it's my dad and my stepmom, to clarify. So, thanks, guys.
Would someone be willing to pray for Kristen's family? Thanks, Chelsea.
God, we give you this prayer request. God, we just pray that Kristen's parents would, Kristen's brother just passing away suddenly, that they would just not feel any guilt or shame or anything, and that they would, that as they continue just to go through the grieving process, that they would just continue to press into you and to continue to believe the truth about the situation, and that they would continue to feel loved and supported during this time. And God, we just also pray for Kristen, and as she's processing through, and that she would just continue also to just to know how just to know how to support her family at this time, and just to be able to see you in this, and to see how you'll take the situation and continue to bring peace. In your name, amen.
Thanks, Jess.
Thanks, everyone, for joining today. I really appreciate it. We'll gather again in about a month. The next meeting is actually literally a month out, March 13th, I believe. And as you can see from today's content, there are a lot of things going on right now. There's some amazingly encouraging things. There are some very challenging things. I think this is a season where we, with the pandemic life, it's tempting just to move into a space where we're just kind of surviving, we're just kind of coasting, but God is doing things right now. And so this is a season to lean into him. So I appreciate you joining us, appreciate particularly the way that you each lead and provide spaces for others to engage in their relationship with God. But I know that you yourselves have the same needs for connection with him and provision from him. And so I'll just pray to close this here. God, I do pray for this this group of leaders, the unique ways that they are serving you and engaged in your kingdom, and in the ways that they have needs in their own personal life, both for you and at times for hope, other times for strength, wisdom, discernment. Pray that you'd bless them with what they need in this next month as they carry out the tasks that you've given them, but more importantly, as they live into a space that worships themselves. Lord, we are so grateful that we have you to love and to worship, and that you are with us. You know, there's a lot more things that we could ask you for together as a group, even just this size group. There's a lot of things that we've got going on, but you know them. You can see into our hearts. You've given us your spirit. You know, and you intercede for us in those spaces. And I thank you for that too. Pray that you would bless us this morning as we come together as a local church community to worship you corporately. And pray that this morning would be a day that you move us forward in our relationships with you and with one another. And then as we study what it means to live in an unanxious presence, God, that you would bless us. In your name, amen. Thanks again for joining us, everybody. Have a great rest of your Sunday out there. Take care.